How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com. Okay, we need an anti-aging sponsor like immediately. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we're old. Wait a minute. How did you... Morgan, like old is... Fuck. Not only because of the way we look, which that's a work in progress. I know. Like, we're getting there. We're taking the steps necessary. But here's what happened to me yesterday. My 8-year-old said, "Mommy, the coolest thing is happening in my classroom. My teacher is playing us songs every Friday from the old days when she was a little girl. She calls it Flashback Friday. And the past Friday, Mommy, the class went wild for what she was playing. Guess what it was?" And my ass, don't even ask me why I thought this, because this is not from our generation. But I thought, the Beach Boys?
Okay, then that is so not from our generation.
But I was not prepared for what he said.
Okay.
Selena Gomez.
Stop it. What? What is this woman, 10? Like, what?
Selena Gomez.
Wow,
flashback. Do you know who she is? Because my teacher played Naturally by Selena Gomez and the whole class went crazy. And I love that song. So I want to play it. And last night he had a little friend over. And they were singing in my kitchen to this song. They were like, "Mommy, play other songs from way back when." "Mommy, do you know the Jonas Brothers? Because she played them the other week, but we didn't really like it."
Wow. Wow. Well, I came on this podcast feeling kind of fresh this morning, ready to go, ready to go. But you've just really knocked me down. And now I might start Googling how to look younger.
I'm telling you, we need a partner in this. If you are listening and you have the magic wand, slide on in because we are ready. I mean, Selena Gomez, what?
Not good. Not good.
And you know what? I think there are a lot of people who can, like, obviously, like, relate to this. And not to make light of the situation, but comparing ourselves to somebody who's younger, right? And somebody like, I could look at these teachers. First of all, I should have known the person is young. Like anybody named like Mackenzie, not our generation.
We're back there. We're back there.
If why is everyone separating out their names all of a sudden?
If you listen to our episode, I think it was like 2 episodes ago, Andrea came up with Mackenzie. And poor Mackenzie was throughout the entire episode. So now here, now she's her son's teacher.
Literally, it's like all of these young people and their young names. Like if your teacher's name is Amber, then like, or Mandy or Brandy, they're not from our generation. Oh my God. But anyway, not to compare ourselves, but I think so often we compare ourselves to someone that we're not, someone who maybe we think is more successful or prettier or younger or thinner. And I think that that is it puts us in such a negative space. And especially if you're navigating a divorce because there was an affair, then naturally you start thinking about all these things that you can't control, right? Like, why did this happen? Is this person that you know, she had an affair with, is, you know, is he more, does he make more money than I do? Is he more successful than I am? You know, or, you know, all these things. And I think that that is so toxic.
It is. It's the unknown. From what I see as a divorce lawyer, it's the unknown that's out there, which is, what do they have that I don't have? Did they do something that I didn't do? What exactly drew my spouse or significant other to this person? There's so many unknowns, and you're already dealing with so much stress of a potential breakup or a divorce, that this other nagging thing in your brain that you might never get closure on is something that just really drives people over the edge.
And I think that something else that drives you over the edge when you're going through a divorce and there was an affair is, if you live in, I mean, a lot of this country, including where we live in a place that is a quote unquote no fault state. And a lot of states in the United States are no fault states. And that really aggravates a lot of people, because then they feel like there's no justice. Right? Like, I was wronged. And now not only am I consumed with all of these what ifs and the things that I can't control and the whys, but now I'm being told, well, sorry, Charlie, you're getting divorced in no fault state. So it doesn't matter that he or she had an affair. Well, what we want to give you today is a little bit of framework of something that you might be able to control, because we want to put you in a proactive state of mind so that hopefully the other side of your brain that's running on all these things that you can't control can quiet a little bit. So here's what we want you to know. If you're navigating a divorce and there was an affair.
And so I think the way to give you action steps and items that you can kind of think about, which is exactly why we do this podcast, we make it super easy for you to have a few takeaways every episode. We kind of have to address what a no-fault state or jurisdiction looks like. And I've heard, and I don't practice there, but I've heard in our listeners in Canada that might look similar, even in England. I mean, we have listeners all over the world. I think we have one listener still in Honduras, so hello to you. But there are a lot of no-fault jurisdictions. And when I started practicing, there were still causes of action in divorce that you could file under fault. You could file under adultery, which was always fun to send over to the other side, just get them shaken up because they're in the public record now saying that we're, you know, divorcing you under adultery. You could file under something called alienation of affection, which is, you know, you kind of stole my spouse or somebody stole my spouse and this is going on. That, where we are right now, is not happening anymore. It is a no-fault state, which means, and I always kind of joke around about it, but in all seriousness, I mean, you could technically, if you are Chad and Brenda, which, if you don't know us and our divorce podcast, that's our resident divorce couple. If you do know us, I want to know what you think Chad and Brenda actually look like, because Andrea and I are taking a poll of what they look like, but let's talk about Chad and Brenda. So Chad and Brenda are getting divorced. Let's just say that Brenda, and this is what I say, Brenda might have 20 boyfriends during the marriage. And Brenda can do it because it's a no-fault state. The court is not supposed to consider the fact that Brenda had 20 boyfriends when distributing assets or marital assets in a divorce. However,
I bet Brenda listens to Selena Gomez.
For sure. Brenda is friends with Brandy and Mandy and whoever else you said as well. Mm-hmm. She's also, you know, thinks she's 21 again. So anyway, so Brenda is not going to get smacked by the judge, because in a no-fault state, the judge is not supposed to consider that Brenda's been loose and out in the public with 20 boyfriends. However, there are certain scenarios, and we're going to get into this, of where that might come into play in a no-fault divorce state. And if you're listening to this and you're like, what the hell? There's no justice for the good person. I hear you. I understand. I get it. And I see people like you in my office all the time, and it doesn't feel good. But there are certain things that you want to talk to your divorce lawyer about if you are Chad and Brenda's out there with 20 other men.
Okay. So let's get into this. What are some things that someone should bring up to their attorney to look at, right? What are the things that they can control? Let's start with money, like marital money that was spent during the time that somebody was having the affair.
Right. So that is one place that most divorce lawyers' heads always go to in a no-fault area, which is, well, okay, we don't really care that Brenda had the 20 boyfriends, but what we do care about is if Brenda was taking marital money and spending that marital money on 20 boyfriends, because if she had not done that, the marital estate would have been bigger, more money to divide out in the divorce. So that is the place that all divorce lawyers go to when they're talking about whether what we call dissipation has happened. And dissipation is spending marital money on a non-marital event or asset with regards to a boyfriend or girlfriend. And that's what we're talking about here right now.
Okay. So dissipation, money spent on somebody else. Number one, how much money do we actually care about, right? Because, okay, dinners, things like that, and how are we finding this? What kind of fine-tooth lice comb does somebody need to go through to prove this stuff? This feels like, to me, this feels a very overwhelming, daunting task. And I would initially think, like, is this even worth it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the thing that you have to talk to your lawyer about, because we do this risk reward analysis in our minds all the time when we're talking about whether it's worth it. Because the fact of the matter is, dissipation, or going down that road to figure out what was spent on the boyfriend or girlfriend or the significant other, is one, it's lengthy in process, can be costly. So you want to know what you're going to get back from it. The third thing that most lawyers and people just don't really talk about is the mental anguish that the person goes through trying to identify exactly what was spent on this other person. Because what I find is that a lot of times they're not only identifying things that weren't spent on their marital purpose, but they're finding things that maybe they didn't know. So they already knew that there might have been a girlfriend or a boyfriend. That already hurts. And now, essentially, as a divorce lawyer, we're like, okay, if you want to try to get the money back that was spent, or at least a portion of the money back, we need to go through this dog and pony show to pick out all these things. And then they're finding, oh my gosh, Chad lied to me when he said that he was on a work trip, because he said he was in, you know, Tallahassee, Florida, and it looks like he was in Miami with another woman at Louis Vuitton buying bags.
Right.
Those are the things that you have to be ready for and understand that those could pop up if you go down this road. But one thing, and you have a question, but I just want to make a little bit of a point here. When I say risk reward analysis, you know, it's expensive. So if we're just talking about, I know it sounds bad, a few thousand dollars and it's a smaller estate, it's probably not worth the money to go down that road. However, and I've even done it with really big estates where maybe there's, you know, hundreds of thousands spent, but the money that we're going to get out of the divorce is so much that it's not worth going down that road. We're like, you know what, whatever you did is whatever. We're not dealing with it. But I have had cases where we go down that road, and there's certain reasons we go down the road. One is to get the money back that's due to the marital estate, obviously. The second reason that you go down that road sometimes is for leverage in the divorce. It's hanging out there. The other side doesn't like it. They know that we're sniffing around. They know that we're on to them. And maybe they're willing to throw something into the pot to sweeten the deal, and we get rid of the dissipation claim. So those are the reasons that we think about it as divorce lawyers.
Yeah, those are my questions. So the way to go, you. I guess you don't need me today. Oh, let's say that for reasons, someone is deciding, yeah, I want to look into this. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the money was not so obviously spent. So what if we assume that someone is using I just finished watching this episode of American Greed the other day, and there was a politician who was featured, who initially he and his wife were spending campaign money on just them living. But then
Shocker.
He started having affairs and the wife didn't realize it because he was pulling from so many like I guess, business sources to like use the money. So it wasn't coming out of their checking account. So she really didn't realize that he was spending it on like other women, hookers, blow, all that kind of stuff. You know, the things we do. So what if that is your assumption? What if you're like, you're thinking, I know that she or he is doing this and it's not coming out of our checking account. It's coming, like maybe you own a business, right? Cash, business cards. What do you do?
Yeah. So that's a little bit more tricky, but we deal with this every day, which is a lot of people might own businesses and they're running expenses for their significant other through the business. They're taking cash out of the business. They're running travel through the business. They're buying gifts out of the business. That would be something that you'd want to talk to your attorney about. A lot of times we subpoena those records to figure it out. And where you might see it is a business credit card that's reimbursed from the business. So you see the expenses on the credit card coming through. You know that they're not for you and your family. You know that the travel is not related to your business. Let's just say, you know, your husband, I've had a case in the past where the husband was a dentist and the husband's traveling, you know, he doesn't travel for work, but all of a sudden now he's traveling to all these fancy destinations, work travel, conferences, and then we're linking up that there are no conferences there for dentists and you really don't need to go to these fancy locations. And then we got the tickets of who was traveling together and lo and behold, there is another woman. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I see it both ways. I see a lot of women cheating as well. So I don't want to label either side. It happens in, you know, male or females on each side, I should say. So the bottom line is there's ways to figure it out. There's ways to determine whether it's dissipation or whether it should be included in someone's income. So there's kind of two ways to go about it if they're spending out of the business, but your lawyer should be up to speed on it. And you might want to give them the roadmap that, hey, listen, I think there's another person. Let's just say Chad is coming to me and Chad's saying, I think there's another person. I know that Brenda's been out and about all the time, but Brenda also owns a business and I don't see anything coming out of our joint accounts. And we don't have any really personal accounts. That divorce lawyer's bell should be going off and saying, all right, we might want to go down this path to check it out.
If we are assuming, we as the divorcing individual, we have a feeling that there's something here. We're not sure whether it's worth it or not to go down that road. What's the language that we suggest them using to their attorney when they communicate this concern? And what method should they be communicating this in? Because I want to be mindful of the fact that everything costs money, right? And so even just asking your attorney to look into this could be a financial venture that you're like, ah, fuck. Why did I open that can of worms?
Right. So I think what you do is you mention the fact that this might be happening. What avenues or what, you know, suggestions do they have? And then ask them, if I wanted to dip my toe into the pond, but not just jump headfirst into this issue, how would we do it? What's the most cost-effective way? In my mind, what I would probably tell a client is like, look, if you think there is spending on a significant other, let's just say we think it's on a Visa credit card. If we're in the middle or started the divorce, a very simple subpoena to the credit card might be warranting the information that we need just to kind of figure out, dipping our toe into the pond, are there expenditures that we really didn't know about and are they big enough to actually make a claim out of them? Do we want to go any further? It's a fairly cheap process to get a subpoena out, get the documents back. And a lot of times what I do with clients is if they're trying to save dollars on this issue is I say, hey, when I get the documents back, we're going to glance at them because that's our job. We have to. But I'm going to let you really dig through because there's nobody that knows you and your spouse better than you do. So you're going to be able to identify these purchases or expenditures that are a little out there way faster than we are. So once you do that, then let's have a quick conversation.
Let's bring up the case of, let's say we know that there was an affair. Let's say that the affair has come out in the open, right? Either they were caught or they confessed to it. You're moving forward with a divorce for a multitude of reasons. Typically, it's not just because somebody had an affair, right? We know that. And let's say that it is assumed that everything is now out there and open. And there's just a part of you that wonders, is there more? Is this ever a conversation that you bring up to the person whom you're going through the divorce with and say, look, we could do this the really hard and expensive way, or we can have a conversation and, you know, and then figure out a more amicable way of addressing any like financial untruths or something like that. And then would, and then the other, as I'm saying this out loud, I'm like, well, God, are you going to believe someone? Right. Like if they, I don't even know, but I just think that it's worth bringing this up.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's tricky. I don't, I wouldn't say that in the last 10 years I've ever seen this working in a relationship where there is dissipation. In fact, I've actually had a case in the last 10 years where it was the husband who had stepped out and was really a busy guy. And what he did, there was a very large estate. And what he did was said, hey, you know, I know I've been out and about and I'm really sorry for it. But rather than dig into this and spend all this money on attorneys, I will offer you X amount of dollars over what the split is in the marital estate, just to just kind of not dig into this. Are you open to that? And so I've seen that happen as well, which is really tricky for divorce lawyers, because what happens is the client comes to you and says, hey, Chad's offering me, let's just say $100,000 extra just to walk away and not dig into dissipation. What do you think? Should I take it? And we say, well, we have no idea. Number one, red flags are going off in my mind, because if it's $100,000 that they're offering, there must be huge amounts of dissipation going on that he doesn't want Brenda to see. And the second thing I'm saying is I have nothing to even look at. I don't have a document. I have no idea to tell you if this is a good deal. So a lot of times clients at that point have to really kind of think about, is it just better for my mental health to take it, to not go forward and just be done and right. just take my dignity and walk out, know I've been wronged, and just walk out with my head held high. And that is something that a lot of clients end up kind of taking at some point, and that is okay. It's all about preserving your mental health in this process.
Exactly. And I think that other industry professionals don't often make that the priority. I think, and I don't think it comes from a bad place. I think that people just always want justice, you know, and they want to see things through to the very end and make sure that things are done the quote unquote right way. But sometimes the right way leaves you in shambles, and the emotional tax that you pay on that, my God, is it worth it? But let's just wrap up this financial section of our conversation. Okay. So we're saying that number one, it feels impossible, but we want you to, you got to run an analysis. Is this worth my effort? Now, obviously, you yourself may not know. So this is something that you need to bring to your attorney. Morgan, with that question, is there specific language that somebody should use to appropriately ask their attorney that question?
I think that they should just say blatantly, I think that there's another person in that has been, there's been money being spent on this other person. Do you think it's worth our effort to go forward to kind of look into this? And I would always suggest starting with dipping the toe in rather than opening the floodgates, right? So that's something you want to tell your attorney. Is there a way that we can look into this by conserving costs at first, and then make a determination once we get a little bit of information, whether it's worth going down that road fully?
Now, we always tell people, you cannot ask your attorney how much is this going to cost, because they don't fucking know. But Morgan, how much is this going to cost? Herbert, I think people get really want to know. They want to know, like, I don't, like, because an attorney, how do they even know that their attorney is going to be guiding them the right way?
So if you're just doing a simple subpoena to a credit card or a bank, it's going to cost you potentially a few hours or an hour of paralegal time. Hopefully it's a paralegal drafting it, because at least at my office, they're able to do those. They're able to get approval by the attorney and send it out. It saves costs. If you're at a really small firm, maybe the lawyer's drafting it. Maybe it's an hour or two of their time. Then there's a small fee that has to be paid to send out the subpoena, depending on where you're located. And that's really about it, besides when you get the documents. You have to index the documents in the law firm and actually, you know, save them to the file, but and send them to the client. But besides that, to me, the cost benefit is it's worth it to send a subpoena just if you're dipping your toe in and there's no other way to get the information. There's also the way of getting the information through the discovery process in a divorce case. But that might be a lot of times what we see is that takes a lot longer. It's like, you know, delay, delay, delay. Maybe they'll respond and they're missing a bunch of information. So sometimes it's faster just to go the subpoena route.
Okay. Beyond money, the next thing that comes to my mind that a lot of people don't factor when they're, you know, divorcing in a no-fault state and they're like, well, I have been so screwed over because, you know, he had an affair and now he wants this and I'm losing everything. Sometimes parenting time is affected when there's been affairs fleshed out in a particular manner, which this gets real hairy, but attached to that, I gotta say, there's a movement happening where I live, and I've heard that it's not just where I live, that this is happening all over the place. Well, we are having what we call au pairs here, which is somebody from another country who is here and they're living in your home and they're taking care of the children. And sometimes these au pairs turn into somebody who's taking care of more than the children. And yes, we're talking about someone stooping the au pair, which sounds just delicious. But I don't even know, like, as I'm saying it, like, there's so many parts of my body that are like crawling because it's just, oh, God damn. But Morgan, what happens here? I mean, I know what happens here. Like, I can picture it. And it's a total like Lifetime television for women movie. But like,
or from fuck.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, so no fault is not supposed to take into consideration these kind of dalliances, I would say.
How dalliances?
Dalliances.
Like a flower.
I know. Does that age me? Dalliances.
It does.
Okay. So it's really not supposed to take into consideration these things, although that's really juicy and Netflix might want to pick it up. However, I practice, are tasked with the best interest, figuring out the best interest for the children. And so where it kind of comes into play when there's a significant other or others in the relationship is, are you, let's just say it's Brenda stepping out. Let's say Brenda is with boyfriend A, and Brenda is basically kind of leaving the kids with Chad because boyfriend A is super fun. They're going out. She's acting 25 again. They're out to the bar like till 1 a.m. because she knows Chad's at home with the kids. He's got it handled. All is good. Well, guess what? That's not good when you're working out a parenting agreement or custody arrangement, whatever you call it, where you are, because Brenda's taking away time from her children to be with boyfriend A. So that does not look good. And that could be negative in any kind of, especially if they're fighting over parenting time or custody and there has to be an evaluation, those kind of things. So if another place that I see it a lot is Brenda claims that she's traveling for work. So it's kind of standard status quo. That shouldn't hurt you if that's been what you're doing your whole marriage. But come to find out, Brenda isn't traveling for work. She is with boyfriend A in Napa Valley drinking wine, pretending she's on a work conference. Those are the things that look negative. With the situation that you were just describing, which sounds very interesting, you know, one thing as a divorce lawyer I might say is like, look, this is best interest of the kids. This person's living under the children's roof. And now, you know, Chad is with the au pair or Brenda's with the au pair in front of the children. Are they hiding it? What's going on? I mean, that's where the best interest issue would kind of come into play with this, a significant other.
I also wonder, like, and I know mental health stuff is so hard to see and really like work through in family court, or at least where we live, but like, the mind fuck that it would do on a child, you know? I mean, like, if if mom ever ends up with this au pair and they run off and become lovers, or dad ends up with the au pair, and it just feels messy and very confusing and just all around not a good idea.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about this, let me advise you not.
Yeah. What do they say? Don't shit where you sleep. Isn't that the phrase?
Yeah. Yeah. Another delicious image. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but come on. It's just, and again, listen, we both, Morgan and I, understand how and why affairs happen. We get it. We see it. We hear about it all the time. I was in a very unhappy and unhealthy marriage. I did not have an affair, but I can see how you get to that place. But maybe you don't fuck the babysitter. Maybe there's another option. But here's something that is unpopular. And don't hate me, but here we go. Sometimes what happens, and I see this a lot, the husband or the wife does something horrible, right? Like, let's just say, oh, I don't know, fucking the au pair. And you flip the fuck out because it's horrible and it's weird and it's wild and it makes you feel all kinds of horrible things. But then guess what happens? It starts to change the way you're behaving. And it can sometimes change the way that you're parenting. And then guess what? Then the other side is able to use your erratic behavior against you. And it negates the fact that they were screwing the au pair, which is what made you nuts in the first place.
Yeah.
And I am asking you to do the impossible. And I know because, I'm talking from a place of experience. My ex-husband, I don't think he was fucking the au pair. I mean, we didn't have one. So that's like my first indication, unless you count the house plant, which, come to think of it. But there were things that happened that he did that made my head spin. And there were moments where I could have really flown off the handle.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to.
Right.
There are people out there who do. And Morgan.
Yeah. I want to tell you a story that I had, you know, in the last 10 years where husband and wife, basically wife kind of went off the deep end because thought husband was with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And took the kids away from husband. And I'm just kind of giving you like high level issues here.
Yep.
Wife looked horrible. Wife looked like the worst mother there ever was. And the court did not like wife at all. The judge was absolutely against her, whether or not she was wronged by husband. Okay. So we're going to through this case. The court hates the wife, is kind of like doing whatever the husband wants because the court is kind of punishing the wife for her bad behavior. And then all of a sudden, the husband moves in this girlfriend with her children into his home.
Oh, God.
And at that point, it did a 180. So it was like, okay, we have a bad actor here originally. So now we're mad at the bad actor and we're happy with the good actor. And then, oh my gosh, now both are bad actors. And so now it's an all-out mess. See, what Andrea is saying is so true, because when you've been deceived, when you've been cheated on, when you have lost complete trust, it is normal to lose control. And what we want you to do is take a step back. We know you're hurting. But make sure that your actions are not going to hurt anything related to your case. And if you're worried about something you want to do or want to say or put in writing, and your gut is like, I don't know whether I should do that, ask your lawyer, please, because we don't want any missteps in your case. Let's have you be the good actor no matter what.
I want to go back to the point of this episode. The point of this episode is to give you some things that you should be focusing on that you might be able to control. You cannot control that he or she did something that really hurt you. And sometimes when something really bad happens, that part of our brain gets triggered that feels really insecure, and it makes us do crazy things because we're scared. And like the whole reason why we do this podcast is because when you're getting divorced, you are tasked with making some really important decisions when you are not in a mental state where you should be making important decisions. So again, think before you act, and please, please, please think before you say anything to your children. No matter what mommy or daddy did, you want to be really mindful of that, because let's just take family court out of it, okay? Even if a judge is never going to slap you on the wrist because you said to your daughter, Selena Gomez, you know, your dad is such a fuck up. I can't believe he slept with the babysitter. Guess what? Guess who's going to remember that moment for the rest of her life? Selena. And yeah, she might write some number one hit songs that my 8-year-old will later dance to, but that causes a lot of pain.
It does. And they never forget it at all. And it will come back to haunt you. So children, you have to protect them during this entire process, no matter what you have been through personally. And so what we want to remind you here is, if you think that there is some kind of an affair going on, and it's a no-fault state or a no-fault jurisdiction or no-fault country, for that matter, because we're all over, which is amazing, you just want to make sure that, number one, you're talking to your lawyer about, what about the financials if there is another person out there? How does it affect the children and any negotiation with regards to parenting time if there is another person out there? And your lawyer will be seasoned enough to walk you down the questions to make them understand whether or not they would send you down that path.
And just like what we said in the financial part of this conversation, the same applies to parenting time. Ask your attorney and use bullet points when you email them. If I were to dip my toe in this, what would it look like?
Yep, agreed. Agreed. And remember this, Andrew and I say this all the time. Divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. You do not want to take the hurt and the anger and the mistrust and fire right away. You need to calm down. You need to weather that storm, and you will get through this.
Because firing is not only really, really expensive, but there is a major mental and emotional tax that you are going to pay when you throw the proverbial book at somebody. So think about that. At the end of this, we want you to take care of you. If you are not okay, your kids will not be okay. So focus on you. Get yourself in a calm and healthy state. And that is why we do the show. One of our biggest suggestions is, take a walk while you listen to us. Move your body. When you move your body, you move your mind. We're helping you do it all here. Tell a friend about our show. If you run into somebody who you think that this show could help, send our show their way. Please rate and review us. The reviews help us so much. You have no idea.
That's right. And if you need more community, because who doesn't? Join our private community for free on Facebook. DM us. We respond to every DM. We send attorney referrals. If you want more information, we have the DCC, the Divorce Crash Course, on our website. We have parenting plans that maybe you just want to wrap your head around. What could it look like in the future? We have all of those things to help you through this, because we know this process is tough. We know it's draining, but remember this. You have got this.
And we have got you.